It's Marketplace Tech for Friday the 3rd. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Messaging app Snapchat seems to be having a pretty good spring season, and I'm not just saying this because I'm seeing even more of my friends who are a little bit older upping their Snapchat game. The company recently completed a fundraising round with a valuation of $16 billion, and reports this week suggest Snapchat has 150 million daily users. For those keeping score at home, that is 10 million more daily active users than Twitter. Granted, Twitter's content has a larger audience because tweets are public and easy for people to see. On Snapchat, you have to be logged into the service to see stuff. But Melissa Parrish, VP and principal analyst at Forrester, says Snapchat's opt-in requirement can be considered a strength.
The idea that you have to be logged in, I would argue that it benefits them. It might not mean that they can show these, you know, massive consumption numbers that some other platforms are able to show. But at the same time, in terms of advertising revenue, it's the logged in users who matter most anyway. In some ways, it actually simplifies the math and the message to the advertisers for Snapchat.
Hence the company's focus on getting revenue from advertisers, which for now seems to be working. Sustainable, though?
The challenge, I would say, is that media reinvents itself every couple of years, and that can be very hard to stay in front of, especially for a startup. So it really is just a question of can you bring in the money and the advertisers and also stay on the pulse of what's happening in the wider media industry.
Melissa Parrish at Forrester there. One other thing Snapchat has going for it, by the way, public posts by users disappear after 24 hours, an added incentive to keep coming back. Earlier this week, Facebook, Twitter, Microsoft, Google, and the European Commission signed onto a code of conduct for combating hate speech that is illegal in parts of Europe. The code of conduct isn't legally binding, but it makes the process a little more complicated for tech firms. They will now need to process takedown requests in a shorter period of time, and enforcement gets tricky when different countries have different rules. Professor Jonathan Zittrain at Harvard points to another tricky part of the agreement that seems to be about promoting other narratives.
There is one bullet point that says that the IT companies and the commission, recognizing the value of independent counter speech against hateful rhetoric and prejudice, aim to continue their work in identifying and promoting independent counter narratives. It opens up the question of when my Twitter feed, when my Facebook feed is populated and not in some obvious chronological way, what choices are being made and are they in my interest or someone else's about what I'll see and when? And the idea may be that certain counter-narratives might be promoted to me because they're thought to be better ideas than others from a philosophical standpoint. I'm not sure that's what we sign up for when we sign up for a Facebook or a Twitter.
Zittrain says this is also part of a larger story where Europe is trying to rein in tech companies from the U.S., market share, tax avoidance, privacy, etc.
It's a general sense, I think, of the Europeans wanting to exert some new authority. It's just there's a paradox in that the ways in which they're exerting the authority is by asking that the companies themselves become more judgy and discriminating in the users and speech that they allow online. So in a way, it's asking the companies to be much more hands-on, which is a way of getting them more involved rather than less.
Jonathan Zittrain, co-founder of Harvard's Berkman Center for Internet and Society. It's Silicon Tally time. This week, I am joined by newish member of the Marketplace team, reporter Lewis Wallace. Lewis, are you ready to play the game where we try to stump each other with numbers from the week's tech news?
Yes, I'm excited.
Okay, good. Me too. 360 million.
Oh, it's the MySpace thing.
Yes.
But I don't remember exactly what happened.
This is the number of MySpace user accounts that were hacked.
Amazed that there's that many MySpace user accounts, right?
Right. 360 million. Apparently, this would be one of the biggest hacks ever, potentially. Like, do you care? Did you have a MySpace page?
Yeah. I probably still do.
I don't know. Somewhere. All right, what do you got for me?
230 applications.
There are 230 different applications for Facebook's new artificially intelligent texting tool, potentially one of which is ordering you beer this weekend. I don't know.
230 patent applications received from 2012 to 2015 for technologies involving CRISPR. That's the gene editing tool that could be used for anything from modifying foods to modifying gene sequences in humans and animals.
I guess we'll just have to wait and see what kind of bananas and or humans we get, right?
I don't want to wait and see for that.
You don't want to wait and see? You don't want to just kick back and see? Fair enough. All right. Here's what I got for you. 420 million smartphone owners.
That's the number of smartphone users in India.
Okay. That seems like a good guess. This is the number of smartphone owners, one in five smartphone owners, who use a mobile ad blocker. So, I don't know, do you use ad blockers? Are you one in five?
I don't, although apparently most journalists do, and that would be normal and cool.
Well, count us both not that cool, because I don't either. All right, what do you got for me?
One dude, I'll give you that.
Oh, man. One dude in Silicon Valley named Elon Musk thinks we're all living in a computer simulation.
No, that is the number of Silicon Valley sort of bigwigs who are publicly supporting Donald Trump for president.
Oh, yes.
Do you know who our one dude is?
Well,
Peter Thiel.
Okay, let me ask you this. Do you think that privately there are more?
It seems like there must be,
right?
But so many of these companies sort of have partially founded their reputation on being sort of progressive in certain ways.
Yeah.
All of which
Donald Trump apparently doesn't stand for.
Elements of Donald Trump's platform.
Lewis Wallace, thank you so much for playing along.
Thanks.
I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.